Let's take our Bibles this morning, the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 2, we're going verse by verse through this book of the Word of God, as well as a few others. And again, it doesn't matter what man's opinion is. That's why the Bible says, preach the Word. And there are some things in the Word that are hard to be understood. And there are other things in the Word of God that are sharp and just hard to swallow. And then there are some things in the Word of God that are very simplistic. And that would probably be the case with our message this morning, although most of the world has no understanding or knowledge about the three verses that we'll be reading today. But we as God's people, we that have been saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, should rejoice in these things and be reminded continually of them. I'm in Galatians chapter 2, starting in verse 15, as we continue verse by verse through the Bible. Galatians 2:15, we'll read verse 15, 16, and then the last verse of this chapter. Galatians 2, verse 15, the Bible says, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And then the very last verse of that chapter says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now, the theme of the book of Galatians is the gospel of grace through faith. That's the theme of the book. And he is talking in this chapter about justification by faith in these verses that we're reading. There's a lot of the Word of God that goes into justification by faith and explains that. Romans 3, Romans 4, many other places in the Bible. But the context of this is the fact that Paul just got through rebuking Peter because Peter got up from the table because he was eating with saved Gentile brethren, and he got up and left and went with the Jews. And he was a hypocrite, or the Bible calls it dissimulation. He was very hypocritical in his activity because Peter was no better than any of the other Gentiles he was sitting at the table with. And so after this rebuke of the Apostle Paul to the Apostle Peter, these verses that we're reading that follow give several thoughts that put in context of his rebuke. The first one is, look at verse 15. We who are Jews, now that would mean Paul and that would mean Peter. Now, you're not a Jew. There's nobody in here that's a Jew. You say, well, I'm saved. Well, you're not a Jew. Jews, you had to be a child of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all three of those, you see, a descendant. Not just a child of Abraham, but a child of Isaac and a child of Jacob. A Jew came from one of those 12 tribes of Jacob's offspring. So Jews are very privileged people. And that was the context of why Peter got up from the table to go impress these Jews, of which he was one, because of these dirty Gentiles that he was eating with, though they were saved by the grace of God. And Paul begins saying, verse 15, he talks about Jews by nature, not sinners of the Gentiles. He's trying to get across to Peter and anybody else that would think about it, look, we all have a problem. That's the first point of the message. Whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, you've got the same problem. And he says, we who are Jews by nature. Now, here's the problem, and not sinners of the Gentiles. The Jews were Jews by nature, but they were also something else by nature. They were sinners by nature. Look at Romans chapter 3. Hold your finger there. We'll be right back. In Romans chapter 3, he expounds upon that about the fact that, you can boil humanity down however you want to. There are wicked people, there are violent people, there are people that are despicable, but the truth is every one of us are sinners no matter which boat we're in. We're all guilty. And we all have a bad nature. Now, you may be a Jew by nature. Nobody in here is, but this would be a good message, I guess, if I was back in Israel preaching. But I, having been to Jerusalem, having been to Israel, I know the uppityness of them. We're Jews. We're Jews by nature. Yes, but you're also sinners by nature. You also have something very bad about you that's true. You know, if you're not careful, we as the church can get that sort of uppity nature too. And the truth is, all of us have a nature that's against God. That's our problem. In Romans chapter 3, he says in verse 9, watch it, Romans 3, 9, what then, are we better than they? In other words, are we Jews better than all these Gentiles? He said, are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. In other words, Jewish people have the same kind of sin problems that Gentile people have. And all of us have a problem, and it's called sin. Now, we who are not children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we do have a disadvantage. We can't claim to originally be the people of God. You know, God, the Jews were God's chosen people. We can't claim any standing with God based upon our natural birth. Jewish people could do that. They received the oracles of God. They were recipients of things that God didn't tell anybody else. They also were recipients of signs, wonders, and miracles. The Bible says the Jews require signs. When God would deal with a Jew, he would deal with him in a sign to prove to him he was speaking to him. You know, there's a lot of Gentiles that think God needs to prove things to them. God didn't need to prove anything to you. You're not that important. Now, the Jewish people, he did. He did signs and wonders and miracles to prove. Why? Well, they were special people, you see. They were his chosen people. But none of us are privileged to receive those kinds of deliberations from God. No, we're just heathen by nature. I mean, heathen by nature, that's what we are. You know, there's something animalistic about man. Now, if you could go back in your family tree, you'll either find somebody with a bone in the nose or they got a bone beating somebody else's brains out. I mean, you know, I trace all my roots to Scotland and all that. And, you know, the Europeans want to say, you know, the Western civilization and all this. You know what those Europeans were doing back, you know, 1,000 years ago? They were beating people's brains out and worshiping stones and they were just as heathen as anybody else. And there's just something very depraved, and there's something very fleshly, and there's something very wild, and there's something very uncivilized, and there's something very corrupt about sinners of the Gentiles. The Jews by nature, though they were Jews by nature, they were still sinners by nature. But the Gentiles, by their very background, they had these animalistic, fleshly tendencies. They weren't even civilized people. They were wild. Wild trees, corrupt trees. And the Bible lets us know the problem that we all have here. And it's sin. Sin. I've said it before, I'll say it again. It bears repeating 1,000 times. Our problem is not a virus. If that's the only problem you have, you are on easy street. Our problem is we have a sin nature. Our problem is we have a bent against God. Our problem is we want to do the lusts of the flesh. Our problem is that if given the chance, we will go astray from God every time because we are sinners. We have a nature problem. We have a desire problem. We want what God doesn't want. And there is an eternity problem, and there's a hell problem, and there's a corrupted nature problem that's on the inside of me. And that's worse than anything I can pick up for the body. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. I wonder how many people think their problems is really sin. A lot of people, well, I tell you what, preacher, the problem now, we've got people who've lost their jobs. We've got an economic problem. You know, I've, I have never heard so many commentary. I'm talking about in the financial world, talk about the fact that we could be on the cusp of a Great Depression. I mean, that's still not off the table. Our generation doesn't know how to think like that, because you don't know how your life is going to change if that happens. I don't know if it's going to happen or not. You say, why aren't you more worried about it? Because there's a bigger problem. There's the problem that people don't need God, and people don't know God, and people aren't saved, and they've got sins that they're addicted to, and they've got hearts that are turned away from God. That's our problem. Oh, if our society would get humble enough and repentant enough and concerned about enough of the sin that lies within our hearts and our nation, that's the cancer that's destroying the world. We who are Jews by nature, but not sinners of the Gentiles. Peter, don't you see yourself in the same boat with the same issues and the same problems? Given the chance, you're going to make wrong decisions because you're a sinner. Now you say, well, what's the good news of that? Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and get Ephesians chapter 2 and then get one other text. Go to Peter's epistle. Peter's going to agree with our brother here, 2 Peter chapter 1. So Ephesians chapter 2. So the problem we all have, you know, most people don't think they have that problem. Most people do not think they have that problem. Well, I'm glad I'm in church this morning. I'm glad that my nose is in the Bible and my knees were on the floor today. But you know what, guys? I've got a problem. My nature is against God. I'm a sinner. Now, if before you came to church this morning, if you had put the biggest problem that you're facing, what would you put down? Would the first line say, I have a sin problem? And you see, Peter evidently didn't see that about himself. And just because your sin problem is not the same as somebody else's sin problem doesn't mean that you don't have a sin problem. You know why we have church? We have church for a lot of reasons. One of the reasons is to help solve our sin problem. Yeah, because all of us have it. Doesn't matter who our parents were, doesn't matter what our background, we've all got a sin problem. And so we gather before God and we open up our hearts to God and we listen to God and we let God cleanse our hearts and purify our sin problem. Or we just go through the motions and don't get help. Ephesians chapter 2, watch this. Ephesians 2 verse 1, you know the verses, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all of us, had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind." Look at your Bible. "And were by what?" Nature. You have a natural problem. Your natural problem, your nature, look at it, "were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." So if I have a nature to do according to the lusts of my flesh, if I have a nature to follow the prince of the power of the air, which is the devil, if I have a nature to disobey God, if I have a nature to walk according to the course of this world, if I have a nature to walk after my trespasses and sins, well then what's the good news? Well, the good news in this chapter, he said in Ephesians 2:3, look at it, "among whom also we all had." There became a change somewhere in these people. Their nature was against God. Their nature followed the devil. Their nature disobeyed God. Everything about them was animalistic and everything about them was bent against God. But something happened to them. What happened to them? Well, it happened to me. I hope it's happened to you. That's 2 Peter. Look at it. 2 Peter chapter 1, the Bible says in verse Number four, 2 Peter 1 verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God looked down to man and said, being a Jew by nature is not enough, because Abraham sinned against me, and Isaac sinned against me, and Jacob sinned against me, and David sinned against me, and the kings, all of them, sinned against me. And no matter what lineage they came from, they failed. And I look over here at these Gentiles, and they're so out of control, and they're so involved in disobeying everything that's moral and reasonable, and they have a problem. What shall I do? And God sent forth His Son, made of a woman in the likeness of sinful flesh, to die on a cross, not just to take away my sin, but to give me a new nature. A brand new nature. On the inside, a different wanter. A different desire. Not one that I manufactured, but one that God put there. You see, there's a part of me that wants to embrace a holy God. There's a part of me that wants to obey every precept of the Lord. There's a part of me that despises every part of sin. That's my divine nature that's on the inside. There's a part of me that hungers for the Bible. There's a part of me that hungers to praise God and to worship God. But there's also a part of me that is another nature. I got two natures. And sadly, even many of God's people let the wrong nature control their life. Preacher, I just don't know why. Why do I continually want to do wrong? And preacher, why do I continually have no spiritual desires? Either you've never received a divine nature by faith, or you're letting the other nature, the old man, dictate your life, and you're seemingly pushing the Lord in your heart down in a corner. And that happened in Peter's life. Because you know, Peter had a divine nature. He's the one that wrote what I just read. But sitting at that table that day, the wrong nature got up and walked out. How many times does the wrong nature move us, dictate our lives? We all have a problem. But there's an answer to the problem. Surrendering to the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how's that going to take place exactly, preacher? Go back to Galatians chapter 2. Just three little points today. The first one is the problem that we all have. It's the biggest problem you'll ever have to kick and face. The second thing in verse 16 is the thing that everybody ought to know. The first word of verse 16 is what? Knowing. In other words, the Jews ought to know this. The Gentiles ought to know this. Real bad sinners ought to know this, and religious people ought to know this. But the problem is, most people don't know what I'm about to read. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Everybody ought to know that, but most people don't know that. You know, the world is man-centered. You know, if half the people Googled Jesus instead of Googling whatever they're Googling, I'm just using that as a figurative word. You know, you can contact Jesus anytime you want to. Well, then why do we contact everybody but Him? Because we're man-centered. That's what we think about. That's what we promote. That's what we're interested in. That's what fascinates us. Wouldn't it be wonderful if Jesus fascinated us? Wouldn't it be wonderful if God captivated our minds and our attention? I mean, in this generation, you're the exception. But in this generation, most people couldn't sit in church for an hour and just contemplate God. But they could watch a movie for 2 hours and a half. Or they could go to a ball game for 4 hours. Or they could work for 8 hours in a day. Or they could be on their screen time. What's your screen time a day? Let's turn our phones in and see what your screen time is a day. And we can't give God, what's wrong with us? We're man-centered. That's what's important to us, is man instead of God. The whole world is centered on man. And that's what I'm trying to change the narrative. And I know I can't do it in a grandiose way, but maybe I can do it in our hearts. Everything right now in our society, listen to me, is man-centered. We've got to help people. We've got to help man. No, our minds ought to be God-centered, because you can't help anybody if you don't know God. Man doesn't even deserve any help. Every person that's died from the virus deserved to die. How about that? And just like if you die next week, you'll deserve to die. You know why? The wages of sin is death. For by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for they're all sin. So why are we acting like man? Look, man is guilty. If we're alive, it's just the grace of God. If we get the benefit and blessing of God, it's just His mercy. It's nothing we deserve. So why don't we turn our focus off man and put it on God? Because man's not interested in God. He's interested in man. Are you listening to me? We're not thinking about God. We're thinking about man. Religion is that way. 95% of religion, it has nothing to do with God. It has to do with you. It has to do with man. That's why we line you up, or people do, not here. They line you up for a confessional. You go to a man, talk to a man about your sin. That's what most of the world does. Or they line up to take communion from a man. Something I do. Something I center my thoughts on. Or I, you know, do other various and sundry things, and I'm focused on what I do instead of focus on what who God is and what God has done. You know what? Look, listen, this would be hard to say. You know, some people go to church because their life is so man-centered, they have to go to church. You know, a lot of people don't go to church for God. They go to church for themselves. Now, I have to confess to you, going to church helps me. It helps me. And I need all the help I can get. But you know, the biggest reason I need to go to church is not about me. It's supposed to be about God. I come here to make Him smile. I come here to be a blessing to Him. I come here to sing to Him, not to me. I come here to talk to Him, not somebody else. I come here not to get fulfillment in my life, but to fulfill His heart, that I'm obeying Him, because it's about Him. You know, most religion, even good church, it's about us. It's not about us. It's about God. And salvation is about God. It's not about us. That's why He takes the emphasis off of being justified by the works of the law or doing all these things that we can do. God says, I'm not going to accept that. I'm only going to accept one thing, and that's if you put your hopes, dreams, and your faith and your heart in My Son, because there's nothing acceptable with you. And the one that's acceptable is the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've got to believe Him. You've got to trust Him. You've got to quit being so man-centered. He says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Humanity knows nothing if they don't know God. Humanity knows nothing if they don't have the faith of Jesus Christ. Humanity knows nothing if they're not prepared for eternity. It does not matter what we know if we don't know this right here. And this is the thing that everybody ought to know. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we, Paul's talking, you and me, Peter, we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith. You know, Peter, I there's nothing I could have done to impress God. I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I was the top of the religion. I fasted twice in the week. I did all these things, but I had to believe on Jesus Christ just like you, Peter, and just because you walked on the water, God's not impressed. We had to believe to be justified. It's not by the works of the law. The last phrase is 16. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. I really take that to mean that's, I believe that really in every dispensation. I do not believe God will ever justify a man that has ever lived based upon the works that he's done. I just don't believe that. I won't chide with other people. I just don't believe that. I know there are different nuances and rules and things God does in man's soul in different dispensations, but I'm going to tell you this. Now that Bible says, not of works lest any man should boast. I don't think for all of heaven there's going to be one person up there that lived from the first Adam until the last human being was born that would be able to get up and say, I'm justified by what I've done. I'm here by what I've done. No, I don't believe that. No flesh. I don't believe that just applies to the period of the Galatians. I believe that's everybody. No flesh is going to be justified by the works of the law. He says, but how are we justified? And he's talking about righteousness. You see verse 21? For if righteousness come by the law. And that's what justified means. It means to declare somebody righteous. Now here's the question for you. This is the great, take your Bible over to just look at chapter 3 first. Let's read a few verses. Galatians 3 verse 6. Galatians 3:6, even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. This is the most important thing for anybody to know and to explain. In other words, you're not righteous. There's none righteous, no, not one. But if you will believe God, if you will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he will count to you righteousness. There's your righteousness. 1, 2, 3, 4. Here's all the righteousness. Because it's all in my son. It's not in you. But if you'll believe God, if you'll believe what I said about my son, that he died and was buried and rose again, if you'll believe that he's the Savior, I'll take his righteousness and I'll count it to you. And I'll declare that to be so in your life. Look at verse 8. That's salvation. That's justification. Galatians 3 verse 8. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify who? That's me. Justify the heathen through what? Through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Look at verse 11. He said in verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Verse 24, Galatians 3. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. You can try to keep all the law you want to keep and it'll not declare you righteous. It'll not bring righteousness to you. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, the Bible says Christ is become of no effect unto you. Galatians 5, 4. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. And that's why he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. The only frustration in all the New Testament is right here. I mean, ever been frustrated? Y'all know what it means to be frustrated, don't you? Some of you are frustrated right now. You know what frustration is. This last month had been frustrating, right? You know, God says there's one thing in all of the New Testament. He says there's one thing that's frustrating me and it's frustrating you. And that's you trying to establish your own righteousness by what you do instead of just putting faith in my son. That's frustrating the grace of God. Oh, well, let's just keep the Ten Commandments. You can try to keep all the Ten Commandments you want. You know, you're not going to be able to do it. I've asked people that. I've never killed anybody. Well, name me that. You keep it. God going to accept you by keeping the Ten Commandments? Name me six of them. They get stumped about four. You know, all the Seventh-day Adventist stuff, keeping that law, you're not going to be accepted by God by what you do. Your works giving you righteousness? You can go in that baptistry. It ain't going to make you righteous. God says righteousness doesn't come by some work that you do. It comes by the faith of Christ. That's from your heart. And you're going to be frustrated if you try to mix in getting God to accept you and save you based upon what you do, whether it's going to church or taking communion or whatever else, being a good little boy, or your good outweigh your bad. You try to let your good outweigh your bad, and God says it's all bad. Because there's only way I'm going to say you're righteous, and that's through you trusting my son. You'll trust my son, I'll give you righteousness. That's why the Bible says salvation is a gift. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's a gift of righteousness. Why don't people line up to get a gift of righteousness? God's just sitting here, you'll believe my son, I'll give you righteousness. Just believe him, I'm gonna give it to you. You know why people don't do that? They don't like righteousness. They don't want righteousness. Theirs or God's or anybody else's. He says, knowing this, that a man is not justified. Oh, what a word, justified. Go to Romans chapter 3. What a word, justified. Romans 3 and Luke 18. Would you get both of those places? Since we don't have Sunday school, you need to get a little bit more than just 12. Amen. Luke chapter 18, and if you're bored, raise your hand and I'll start jumping up and down or doing something, amen, try to get you, keep your attention. Okay, Luke 18 and Romans chapter 3. Hey, this is the greatest news in the world. But again, why would anybody be bored with it? Man-centered. We got people more interested in what so-and-so put on Facebook than what God put in the Bible. We got more people more interested in the news. I'll just be honest with you. I quit watching the news. I said, I got to quit this. And I was watching all the, you know, the task force press conference. I said, I'm just quitting this. I'll just stick my nose in the book and talk to you, Lord. And if you can't help me, then I'm not going to get any help. You know, some people aren't ready to die. And most people are not ready to live. Because they don't know the one thing they need to know. He said in Romans chapter 3, would you look at it? Romans 3 verse 20. Therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Do you understand that you're not going to do anything to impress God before you got saved or after you got saved? It's only the grace of God. Look at verse 21. This is one of the greatest things that ever got put on a piece of paper and printed. These verses I'm reading right here. And most of the world doesn't know it. They're saved people. Look, they're saved people that don't have a good hold on what I'm fixing to read. I was on a mission field, witness to a guy, and I went through Romans 3 and 4, and he thought he was saved. He read that, and he said, I've never been saved like that. You know what he thought? He thought being saved was just doing religious things and repeating what people told him to repeat and do what people told him to do. Righteousness comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. He says in Romans 3:21, I love it. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Look, I had no hope. I couldn't keep the law. I can't impress God. I have no righteousness. I'm bankrupt. But the Bible said in verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. We often quote verse 23, but we take it out of its verses around it. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that's the problem we all have. But the thing that we all need to know is verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which is believeth in Jesus. Where is it boasting then? It's excluded by what law works, nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Never a man will ever be saved that doesn't cease from his own works. Never a person will be saved that will not come to the acknowledgement, I am not righteous. I can never be righteous. I can never do anything righteous to get accepted of God. It's all about
His righteousness. The good news is about Jesus' righteousness. The grace of God is about Jesus' righteousness. And the Bible says, if I'll just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He will count to me the righteousness that was in Christ. This is salvation I heard as a young man, and I'll never forget it when Dr. Parker stepped up. He's an old man and bent over. Most of you have never even heard that name. He was Dr. Bob Jones Sr., right-hand man for years and years. Great evangelist, great preacher. He spoke to a bunch of young people. I'll never forget, he took out a piece of paper. He said, this is justification. He took out a piece of paper. He said, now let's write your name down here. What's your name? He said, now let's write down all your sins. And one by one, he went through a list of everything any of us had ever done. He said, now that's your record. Now let's go on this other side of this piece of paper and let's write the name of Jesus Christ. Now let's tell me everything about His record. We started writing down all the things about Jesus Christ. His purity, His sinlessness, how He's spotless, how He's all wisdom, how He's holy, how He's compassionate and kind. And that was all of the list of Jesus, and here's my list. You know what your list is, don't you? Now, Dr. Parker said, this is justification. If you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll scratch out your name over that list, and He'll write Jesus Christ on that list. But it doesn't stop there. He goes to the list of Jesus Christ and he scratches out the name of Jesus Christ and he writes your name. And now this is your record. And this is the record of Jesus that he bore for you on the cross. If anybody could understand that, they would never trust in themselves. You see, this morning, a holy God that I have offended a million times has looked down from heaven and He has accounted to me the very righteousness of Jesus Christ because I put faith in Him. Now, the last thing I want to say, to get my name over here on this list instead of my list, how does that happen? He says, we're justified by the faith of Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean? You say, preacher, it's easy. It is easy. But some people have made it very complicated. And some people have misunderstood something. I'll give this real quick and I'll be finished. Believing in Jesus Christ is the only thing you have to do to get righteousness. But the belief, listen, there are three things that this belief is not. It's not belief about God. The Bible says in the book of James that the devils believe that there's one God. You do know the devils are believers. You know who also the devils believe in? They believe in Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, when He walked on this world, you know what? They went up to Him and they declared Him to be the Son of God. So how is the devils believe and tremble? I can't have a devilish belief. That's not what He's talking about. That's not enough. I can't just believe about God or the facts of God. In other words, I just can't believe in my head that there is a Jesus and that He did die on the cross. It's more than factual things. All the devils believe that. That's belief in the head. You understand? Romans 10:9. Every Christian ought to have it memorized. Listen. For with the, say it. One more time. For with the heart, man believeth, listen, unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. In other words, it's not just something that I believe because my parents told me to. It's not just something that I believe about God because I've been around God enough. It's believing with my heart. It goes to my sincerity. I've often looked at it with the chair. You know, I can say that I believe this is a good chair. It's a pretty chair. It's a sturdy chair. The chair can hold me up. Yeah, that's a great chair. I believe it's got four legs. I believe everything about that chair. I believe it was made good. I believe if I sit down in it, I won't fall. I believe that chair. But that's a belief in my brain. That's not a belief with my heart. Belief with my heart is this. I'm trusting in the chair. I'm not trusting in me. I'm trusting in the chair. I'm not trusting in what I know about the chair. I've exercised faith in the chair. You know, we do that without thinking, don't we? You ever sat down in a chair and you put your faith in the wrong place? We need to put our faith in Jesus. You know what that means? That means I need to quit putting faith in me. Quit putting faith in what my parents, or put my faith in my religion, or put my faith in how wonderful my prayer was. But I need to put my faith in a person. And God will give you righteousness for that. Luke, and I'm finished. Luke 16. This belief is not a generic belief or a belief about God, or as I'd call it, a head belief. It's not just a belief in your mouth. It's a belief with your heart. You see, belief with your mouth. Yeah, that same passage in James chapter 2, three times it says this. Listen, a man may say he hath faith. If any one of you say, he says it a third time, a man may say, it's not faith out of your mouth. It's not faith in your brain. It's faith in your heart. We see that manifested in Luke 16, and I'm going to be finished. In Luke chapter 16, the Bible says these two men went up to pray. You know the story. And the Word of God very clearly says, excuse me, chapter 18, Luke chapter 18, the Bible says in Luke 18, verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house, there's our word, what is it? Justified, rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So this man evidently had the type of belief and faith that God saw and justified him for. Look at verse 13. How did he do this? And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It was the belief that will give you the righteousness of God, that will save your soul, has to be rooted in a knowledge of your sin. Look, you know, we take a child, and guys, we try to be very careful with children. You know, you can get a child to believe anything. Right? That can be good and that can be bad. I remember my other two siblings, one of my siblings was messing with the other one and got one of the girls to believe that there was really cheese on the moon. I mean, they really believe that. Because why? Children, just easy to believe. Now watch. The belief don't count if you don't have a knowledge of sin. Did you hear what I just said? There has to be a knowledge of sin, because you don't even know what you're believing. We can get children to pray prayer. We can get children to do a lot of things. But they have to have a belief with the knowledge of sin and with a humble heart. That's why, look, anybody says they believe in the Lord, but they didn't come humbly, that's a joke, man. God resisteth the proud, but giveth, there's our word, grace to the humble. If you don't have a humble heart, if you don't have the heart of this guy, he's smiting on his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Do you see that? Do you see that attitude? It's not a flippant belief. It's a sincere belief. It's a belief on Christ, because I know I'm a sinner and I have a repentant heart about that. I'm sorry about that. I'm not flippant about that. I'm not just adding another God to my list. Lord, I've humbled myself. I'm sorry. And God says, that man right there, he's justified. I declare him to be righteous. He's wicked. Let me ask you, have you believed on the Lord? If righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain.
If you could keep 10 commandments or go to church or be a good person or pray enough or give enough or have philanthropy for people or do whatever you want to do and merit the acceptance of God, then Jesus Christ died for nothing. You could have done it. If you can just jump in the baptistry and get saved, why did he have to die? We can do that without him dying. We've got to believe in that death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. The problem that we all have, the thing that we all should know, and the only thing in the New Testament that God says will frustrate you.